Hello, and welcome to Camelus Lions Church Online. My name is Tim, and I'm the pastor of spiritual formation here, and we are glad you have joined us today. Before we get into our message for today, I want to give a little vision cast for Rooted, this program starting up actually this week on Thursday night. In our Western culture, we're used to discipleship being primarily Christian education. But actually, discipleship is way more than that. It's about spiritual formation. And Rooted is really focused on the spiritual formation side of things. That we want to take you through some experiences, help you learn and understand how to practice the faith. And so I want to encourage you to sign up. It's also not just an experience or a training in the practices, but it's actually also life group training. So we are meant to experience life in the kingdom of God in community. In fact, transformation happens best in the context of committed relationships. So Rooted is both the practices and helping you develop a strong community. Therefore, if you're already in a life group and you want to join Rooted, I want to ask you first to talk to your life group leader. If you're not a part of a life group, I encourage you to come onto the website and sign up, and we'll grow together. We are in this message series called The Way of Jesus. And this message series is about spiritual formation. How do you take this content as we're teaching? We're doing the educational side of that. But we're hoping and praying and asking that you would say, okay, I'm hearing this message. Now, how do I take it and apply it in my life so that the Holy Spirit can form and shape me from the inside out? So if you missed Pastor Chris's message last week on Scripture, I want to encourage you to go back and watch it, as it was a great first message into this series. Today, we are going to talk about the practice of service. Now, I know that as many of you hear that, you're going to have like a knee-jerk reaction, and maybe you might even wince a little bit, like, oh man, he just said the service word, like, here comes the guilt trip, prepare yourself, this is not going to be good. And I just want to encourage you and say to you today, right off the top, that have no fear. Today, I don't want to guilt you, I want to commission you. So this is not going to be arm twisting, but rather a drawing you in into a different way of seeing service. Serving others is not a program, ministry, or another thing to add onto your to-do list. It's a mentality to take with you everywhere you are. Serving others is more than an action. It's more than a gesture. It's more than paying it forward. Serving others is a reflection of God's very presence dwelling in you. That Jesus, God in the flesh, divine presence, came into this world to make his sacrificial love known to you. Not as a drive-by handout in hopes that you might pull up your bootstraps and figure it out, but as a faithful presence bringing his love and grace to you on a continual basis. In order to reflect this love, we must serve others by being faithfully present in the lives of those around us. As you are faithfully present, in tune with the movement of God's grace in your life, service becomes the conduit by which God reveals himself to the world around you. In this way, service becomes a practice that changes both the served and the server. My hope for you today is that you leave not feeling down because you have to rearrange your schedule to fit more stuff into it, but that you leave encouraged to look at the people in your life with a different lens. So we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn with me there. And as you do, I want to give you a little bit of context for this passage we're going to read today. Peter, who is one of the disciples of Jesus, is writing to the church in Asia Minor. And this church is heavily persecuted. They are suffering greatly because they follow the way of Jesus. And so because of their faith, they are experiencing kickback from the culture around them. They're experiencing people rejecting them and marginalizing them because they love and follow God. And so Peter writes into this situation. He writes into this scenario, and he encourages them in their identity in Jesus. And he encourages them not to kind of eject from their circumstances or change things, but actually to stay where they are and to follow. And to one of the big things that he encourages them to do is to serve in their context, in amongst their persecution. So this is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says this: "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Service is a practice that changes both the served and the server. Peter is urging his persecuted believers, again, not to eject from their circumstance or run from where they are, but to serve others where they are, as this is the outworking of God's grace. Peter points out that God's grace is not just something we receive, but it's something that we give. And it's given through this practice of service. Essentially, Peter is commissioning these believers to be the grace of God by serving the people they come into contact with in everyday life, to be faithfully present in every situation. So what does it look like to be faithfully present? How do we serve others in this way? I've broken this passage up into two sections, really: the gift and the re-gift. So let's dig into that. The gift. Peter starts off at the beginning of verse 10. He says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received." In other words, you cannot give what you have not received. You have been given a gift. You have been given something by God. What's this gift, you ask? What's this gift that God has given us? Peter is referring to what Scripture calls spiritual gifts. There are things that God gives a person when they give their life to Jesus. They are gifts to be used for a purpose. Some gifts are teaching, giving, leadership, mercy, faith, prophecy, and many others. These are listed in Scripture. And some have actually been likened to, or some have likened this to a skill, but that they are actually more than that. They are Holy Spirit-empowered attributes for the explicit purpose of building God's kingdom here and now. Danielle Johnson, our director of creative and communications, has a message on spiritual gifts this last fall that is excellent. And if you want to dig more into this, I encourage you to go watch that message. But now I want to dig into this a little bit in a different way. Some of you are thinking, okay, Tim, you say that like these are gifts that God has given us, but this doesn't sound like a great gift. This sounds like more of the gift that leaves you feeling kind of guilty, like, okay, you've been given this and now I have to do this thing. Kind of like, you know, maybe this last Christmas your spouse gave you a gym membership, like, oh, like, come on, spouse, like maybe you should use it, right? Or maybe, you know, you're a junior high boy and your mother gave you a stick of deodorant for Christmas, you know, like she's kind of going, hey, like, do you know what's happening under here? Like you gotta, you know, and so there's like this almost like this latent guilt with the gift that you have been given of you got to do something about something icky. But this isn't the feeling or the motive behind what God has given you. In fact, Ephesians 2 unpacks this a little bit for us. It talks about the grace that God has given us in kind of an overarching package. It first talks about the grace that God has given us is about bringing you from death to life. That you have been given something beautiful, that sin has marred and wrecked and destroyed our lives. And the grace of God brings us out of that death into a new life. And then as a part of that life, that actually God has brought us to a purpose. And in verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul unpacks this. This is what he says. So at the end of the death and life kind of conversation, he says this. He says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." This gift is about a unique contribution that God wants you to bring to the world around you. that actually God has planned, he has prepared, he has created you, and a part of his plan is to redeem you from death to life, and then in his grace, in his undeserved favor, to give you purpose. This is his plan. This is his gift to you, that his purpose is actually a spiritually endowed gift, a spiritually endowed skill that you are going to bring to the world around you, that in your daily life, in your work, in your home, in your family, in your friend groups, in your neighborhoods, at your church, that you bring these gifts with you with the idea that you are going to serve others. And this brings us to our second point, the regift. Paul or Peter, in the middle of this verse, right after he says, you know, that each of you should use whatever gift you have received. And then he says, this gift is for a purpose. And the purpose of that gift is actually to serve others. So it's not to necessarily glorify myself. It's not to glorify other things or people. It's actually to serve other people. And by this, we glorify our Heavenly Father. Have you ever re-gifted something? When Melissa and I got married, we got 6 sets of Corningware as gifts, which actually, to be honest, worked out really well because we had a number of other weddings that we were going to that year. And so we re-gifted a number of them. We kept a few for ourselves and we re-gifted them. It was great. We had been given in abundance. And so as a result, we were able to give out of abundance. This is actually how God has given to us. That he has given us in abundance so that we might re-gift to others, so that we might give over to other people who are in need. I have given you much so that you might re-gift the other grace to others. This is what Peter means when he says that we are to be faithful stewards of God's grace, because God gives in abundance. His grace is not like, here's just a little bit. You probably need more, but like, I'm going to hold out on you for a little bit. No. God loves you. He gives good gifts to his children, and therefore he gives in abundance. And so as a result, we can serve others without fear of scarcity, without fear of not having enough, because God will provide for us. In Jesus, we know we have enough. See, too often Christians live in this like leftover mentality that I don't have the time to serve because I haven't finished my to-do list, or I can't help my neighbor or coworker or church because my house is not organized yet. And we only serve out of our leftovers rather than a place of abundance. Last week, my youngest, Anaya, she's almost 3. She was downstairs with my older 2 children and my wife, and the older 2 had left and said, "We're hungry, we're going to go upstairs to the kitchen and get something to eat," where I was. And so they left and came upstairs and asked me for something to eat. So I was serving them, and I began to make them, as a great dad does, a solid peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And my youngest was downstairs, and after a while she realized she was hungry too, so she said to her mom that she was going to go upstairs and get something to eat. And her mother said, "Hey, Anaya, could you also get me something to eat?" Trusting our 3-year-old with this task of serving her mother. So unbeknownst to me, our 3-year-old comes upstairs. Well, she comes upstairs. I knew she had come upstairs. But unbeknownst to me, her mother had asked her for this service, this act of service. And she comes to me and says, "Daddy, can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich also?" So I said, "Sure." So I create one for all of them. I put it on a plate. They go to the table. They start eating. And Anaya takes her half piece of peanut butter jelly sandwich and begins to eat it. And about 10 minutes later, she eats all of it but the crust. She leaves just a little piece of it on the plate. And then we've trained our children that when they're done their food, they take it to the counter or put it in the dishwasher. But Anaya takes the food, and instead of going to the counter dishwasher, she walks right past it and heads downstairs, which is very peculiar for me. So I watch her as she goes, and watch her as she goes downstairs with this little piece of crust, goes back down to her mother and says, "Here, mommy, I got you a snack." The leftover crust from her bread. But the interesting thing is that Anaya did not realize that her father had an entire loaf of bread before him and 2 more loaves in the freezer if he needed it. and that we had canned a whole bunch of jam and left it on the shelf. In fact, we had probably a year's worth of jam. And I had two more containers of peanut butter in the cabinet beside me, and a whole grocery store I could go buy more if I wanted to. I had an abundance of peanut butter and jelly sandwich. If she had have asked me to create one, I could have made her one. Instead, she served her mother with the leftovers she had. Now, we laughed. It's a three-year-old. I don't think she really got it. But often, this is how we serve in the church. That we kind of, this is all I have left. When actually, your Holy Spirit wants to empower you, wants to give you. Your Heavenly Father wants to give out of the abundance that He has. If only you would ask Him. Sometimes we feel like I got to serve till I die. But actually, the Holy Spirit wants you to read His word and have you filled up. The Holy Spirit wants you to take a Sabbath, which Pastor Chris is going to talk about next week. It's not an accident that we are going to talk about Sabbath next week and talk about Scripture last week and have service right smack in the middle, because sometimes we just run and we kill ourselves in this idea of like, I got to serve. And then we actually end up serving out of the leftovers instead of trusting Jesus to practice in a way that actually He's going to give us life. So there is a time to say no, to say, I actually got to pray. Jesus came to not to be served, but to serve. But there's times when He left the needy and He went and He prayed to His Heavenly Father. How are you in your relationship with Jesus? Are you serving out of the overflow? Or is your tank empty and you're just giving the leftovers, the fumes that are left in your tank? See, the world wants us to believe we are in competition with each other. The world wants us to believe that we got to push and we got to serve one another in this way. But Jesus calls us not to live in competition, but actually to serve each other. Competition has us believe that there's a scarce mentality out there, that there's only a little bit to go around. When Peter says, to use your gift in service of others, he is speaking not just to something we do, but actually to how we see the world around us. Do you see the world as a restaurant or a potluck? You see, most people are living life trying to get to a place where they are the ones being served. We want the world to be our restaurant. Cook my food just right, get it to me on time and well presented, make my experience to my liking, and if it's good enough, I might just leave a tip. Or do you see the world as a potluck? A place to come and experience others' amazing culinary art, but also to offer your own. To participate in serving each other. This is actually the church. This is the way of Jesus. This is the kingdom of God, that we would serve others first, that actually we would be a potluck. But often we tend to treat the world like it's a restaurant. We see the world through that lens. Do you treat your spouse this way? If they don't serve you in just the right way, you get angry? How about your coworkers, your employees? What about your church? Often people treat church as a restaurant. If the music is just the right way I want it, and if someone has greeted me well at the door, and the sermon made me feel good, then I might just give a little tip. I mean a tithe in the offering plate. Do you see the world as a restaurant or a potluck? Are the people around you there to serve you or for you to serve them? In the way of Jesus, the world is a place to offer what God has already given you through service. One of the things I like about the potluck analogy is that it makes service a place of mutuality rather than superiority. Too often, people say that I am going to serve someone who is less than or inferior to me, or I have something good, therefore I'm going to offer to somebody who's not as good. But when we realize that it is God who has given us a gift, not something we have earned or achieved, the service becomes a re-gift of something that was just yours to manage in the first place. You didn't own it. You just give it to somebody else. So when you serve, you look over at your neighbor, your coworker, your friend, your boss, your employee, your church, whoever it might be, and there's this place of mutuality that actually we begin to see other people as similar to us. We have a tendency to demonize people or to less than people instead of humanize them, to see their tendencies in us. Say, oh, they're just like me. Hey, here's this gift God has given me. Maybe it might bless you too. I needed it in the first place. How do you use this in your own life? How does it look to serve one another together? You know, I think we have a tendency to try to say, oh man, I got to serve and I have to add something to my life. When God has actually put you in a place already, you have coworkers, you have family, you have friends, you have neighbors, you have a church community, that God says, how can you serve in the spheres you already exist in? And in this way, he's asking you to be faithfully present. That as you serve, God will begin to change your heart because you're going to see his grace differently and you're going to begin to see other people differently. One of the practices that Melissa and I, my wife, have gotten in the habit of doing is that every Sunday night we meet. We go over our week, we look at our calendar, we make sure the kids get to school on time and kind of figure out who's doing what. But we also kind of talk about our own walks with Jesus. We talk about our weeks, we talk about our hopes and our dreams and our joys, even just for the next week. And one of the questions we ask each other is this: how can I serve you this week? Sometimes it's simple. Can you just pray for me? Can you actually maybe cook dinner on this night? Can you give me a back rub? My back's really sore. I've just been stressed this week. And sometimes it's much more significant. I don't know how to do this. I'm really worried about it. Can you help me in this way? And so that's just a sphere we exist in, that actually I exist as a husband, not for my wife to serve my calling, but actually for me to serve my wife. You are called to your workplace to serve your workplace. How do you serve the people around you? Do you come with this idea that actually people ought to do things for me because I got to do good at my job? Or do you come with this idea that actually I want to make people around me better? I want to serve them in their job and what they're doing. I want to help them. Do you come that with your church? Instead of this kind of how do I have this consumeristic mentality? How do I receive instead of how do I give? And this idea that actually as I give will be my greatest area of spiritual transformation. How can I serve in the spheres of my life? In other words, how can you be faithfully present? How can you be attuned to what the Holy Spirit is doing around you? This last week, I heard a story from another pastor of a life group in his church that they had a person in their church who had just come out of some addictions counseling and was really struggling with different disorders. And one of the disorders he had was OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And he really had an issue with getting going in the morning because he really struggled to put his lid on the toothpaste jar back just right. And it would delay him greatly. And as a result, he was struggling to get a job and just to function well in life. And so their life group, as they're getting to know one another, as they're asking questions and listening intimately with the ears of the Holy Spirit, they realize that here's a practical way we can serve this guy. And so one of the members of the life group one Sunday showed up with a platter. And on this platter was 7 toothbrushes. Actually, I think there was more than that. But each toothbrush had toothpaste already put on the toothbrush. And they said, here's your toothbrushes for the week. Now you don't have to worry about putting the toothpaste back on, or the cap back on the toothpaste jar. You can just grab the toothbrush and go. They knew him. They knew his needs. They knew what he needed in the moment, and they served him faithfully. How can you be faithfully present this week and serve those around you?